Welcome, Lund loyalists, YouTubers watching on John Lund Unleashed and the Bay Area Sports Collective, those watching on X and Instagram and listening on Apple and Spotify. It's John Lund Unleashed and johnlundunleashed.com. Brought to you by Riopel Cosmetic Surgery and Laser Center. Right now featuring amazing stem cell technology. For all your pain and for the guys, check out the latest in low T and testosterone therapy to make you feel like yourself again. Riopel Cosmetic Surgery and Laser Center at riopelcosmetic.com. Now, all juiced up and ready to go. Here's Johnny.
Yes, I am all juiced up and ready to go. It's a Thursday edition of the show as we get you closer and closer and closer to Friday. Look at that smile on Harrison Barnes' face. More so, look at Yaz and the poem that he promised his daughter again as they get a walk-off. 111. We are at episode 111. Thanks for joining us. John Lund Unleashed on a Thursday. Good morning, good morning, good morning to you. An hour late. Have a good excuse. If you care to hear, we have a ton to get to today, though. Very, very busy. Barnes Revenge, as you see on the chalkboard. If you're new around here, we have a chalkboard so that you can follow along with everything. Got a great community at johnlundunleashed.com on YouTube. Make sure that you join the community. All you have to do is join John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. And if you are new in the chat room, please say hello or you can just hang out, however you want to do it. But we are live usually every day from 8 to 10. We'll probably go 9 to 11 Pacific time today. And we might be messing around with that so that we can maximize things around here. And then we do nighttime shows like tomorrow night when I jump on with the Krug Show and Larry Kruger. And we do Bottom of the Pint and we'll do Yankees and Giants, our first official Friday night of the year. And we hang out. So we'd love it if you joined us tomorrow. And actually, it's an afternoon game, right? Like 3:30, something like that. So anyway, from Yankee Stadium, but we'll be sitting in the studio, but you get the idea. But anyway, that's what's going on as far as tomorrow night is concerned, but make sure that you are following and your alerts are on, and you please give us the thumbs up for the algorithm. Please give us a like on the show. John Lund Unleashed on YouTube, Bay Area Sports Collective, which they finally got social media going on. So you got to follow us on X as well. Speaking of X, at John Lund Radio. Or you can hit me up on X, and a lot of people are watching on X this morning. Good morning on John Lund Radio on X, on Instagram as well. Hello, Instagram. Hello, LinkedIn. You should be working, but you're not. I understand. You're not working on LinkedIn. You're like, oh, I'm working. Look at me. I'm working. But LinkedIn and Facebook as well. So however you're watching, thank you so much. And in one fell swoop, all you have to do is go to johnlundunleashed.com. And you can check out everything about the show. Let me just show you the John Lund Unleashed portion so you make sure you're in the right place. But there you go. There is the website itself, and there's all sorts of stuff on there. As you can see, there's me. Hello. There are shows right there, latest podcast, and then, of course, the Unleashed blog post. And I owe a blog post today, who the Warriors want to see and avoid in the playoffs. And that obviously took a hit yesterday with Harrison Barnes or last night. We'll discuss Mock Draft Monday, my latest mock, and there's a really dumb mock trade out there that we got to talk about. But there you go. That is John Lund Unleashed. Also, social media gear as well as at the bottom of the page. I think we got frozen there. But anyway, there's gear at the bottom of the page, all that kind of stuff. So make sure you check everything out, and that is at johnlundunleashed.com. A lot of fun to be had there. Like I said, Golden State, the 7th, we'll talk about, changes the outlook to me of the Warriors in the playoffs if they stay in this 7. The standings will show you, because of course we will. Dallas Doncic. I just wonder if I'm Nico Harrison and I'm sitting through that whole thing, and there's video of Mark Cuban just shaking his head and the whole thing. You know, they welcome Doncic back, and just to localize that story, it really is like if the Warriors had traded Steph at some point. I mean, Luka Doncic is 26 years old. You just don't do those kind of things. And like I told you, I lived in Dallas. It's a football town. And so you've got to have a superstar type of a player. They had Dirk Nowitzki for so long. And he kind of held the interest of what is the majority of football fans in Texas, which is high school, college football, obviously the Cowboys. And you got to have somebody like that. And Anthony Davis just doesn't get it done. And the new ownership just didn't get it, just doesn't get it. And he was sad going back there. You know, he dropped 45 on him, and and the Lakers ended up beating Dallas. But, man, at the beginning of that thing, it was really interesting. So we'll play that. The Yaz walk-off, the Giants have it. Verlander concerns, although, look, he was ticketed up there 95-96, and he had some good bite on the ball, and sometimes you got to give the other team credit, but I am still concerned about him. Penn absolutely was great. A lot of Jung-Hoo Lee love. I got some video for you. A lot of people giving Jung-Hoo a lot of love, so we'll get into that. 2 weeks from today is the NFL draft, and somebody put together, and it's a reputable website. It's not like some jackass website looking for clips or clicks. It's a reputable website, and I just shake my head, and I go, do you not pay attention? I know there's 32 teams, and I know you got to throw stuff out there, and I know it's about clicks nowadays and who can scream the loudest and yell the most. It's not about being accurate. I mean, from our president on down to screaming A. Smith, it's not really about being accurate. It's about how much conviction you say something with, maybe how loudly, how confidently you say something or write something. In today's media society, I understand, but I guess occasionally you have to just say, look, you can't believe everything you read or you hear. There's no basis for it. It's just pure dumb. And sometimes I just like, no, I'm not that way. All right. Anyway, that is what we got going on today on a Thursday edition of the show. However you are watching, thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's get out the roll call today and say good morning to everybody. No, I'm not hungover. By the way, that's what people thought. You're like, oh, hungover. Baba Booey is here. Skills, I did get your email. Hello, Jeff. It is great to see you, man. I'm thinking long time no see. Ernesto Ron. Thursday is a good show. Hello, Daniel. Former Kings fan, sell the team. Christopher, good morning. Good morning, Wonder Boy. Hello, Wonder Boy. It is good to see you, Jazz fan. Great to see you, Aaron. Welcome back to Aaron. Really appreciate you coming in, John Joseph. Hello, hello, hello. AJ Cruz, very nice to see you. Rocking New Era, my pal. Good to see you, man. Papa J, hello, hello, hello. Make sure you're liking and subscribing not only to John Lund Unleashed, but to Bay Area Sports Collective and Bay Area Sports Collective on Twitter now, finally. Thank you, Scott. I really appreciate the like and subscribe. Liking is really important. I mean, it's just the algorithm and all those things. So, yeah, you want to make sure that you please subscribe because we give you unbelievable content. But also the like is important. So if you're in here today, just flip and give us a quick like. The 1420, John, good morning to you, John Harder. Very nice to see you. Chris, hello. Good morning, Mary. It is great to see you, my friend. Jake is here this morning. Look at this, man. JJ Raid, as we are 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. Kenny Smith, KBB49. Is there something wrong with my mic now? Is my mic not working? Hold on a minute. Did I do all of this? Mute mic. Hopefully my mic is working. Love Day Baseball, by the way. Is my mic not working? No mic. No mic. No mic. No mic. Hang on a second. No mic. Oh, it sounds a little funny. I can hear you. Okay. Hold on. Is mic working? Are we having issues today? Is mic working? Is mic working? Why do I have my... I hear you just fine. Just want to make sure your mic is working. It's just sounding like it's the wrong one. Huh. Interesting. Hang on a minute. Let's see here. Hello, hello, hello. Hello, hello, hello. Hello, hello, hello. Hold on a minute. Hello, hello, hello. Hello, hello, hello. Hello. Is that better? No, that is not better. That's way worse. How about that? Is that better? How are we doing? We can hear you, but the mic isn't on. We can hear you, but the mic isn't on. I can hear you, but it sounds like it's from the computer, not the boom. Loud and clear. Let's see. Top of your mic. Sounds good to me. Sounds like you're talking on the laptop mic. Oh, wonderful. Hang on one sec, guys. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just double check one thing on here. Let's see. Test, test, test. Let's see. That should be the input. Logitech. No, we don't want that. We don't want that. We want this. Hang on one second. Hello, 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 hello. That should be it. Detected, go to, hold on a second. Let's see if I'm doing a little stuff on the fly here because if it does sound like I'm not started, I don't know why it would not be working. Let me see here, hang on one sec. I'm gonna download something real quick. I know this is not great. content. I apologize. Let's see here. Continue. Oh my God, it's making me fill something out to get this fixed. Are you kidding me, right? Sorry. This is not optimal. Okay. Sorry. Hopefully this is working. Okay. Sorry. Okay, how about now? Is that any better? Is that any better? Is that any better? Is that any better? Hello, 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 hello. Wow. Okay. All right. Let's see. All right. We'll do the best we can. Let me check one more thing. See what we're sounding like. Let me just hear it back myself, because if it's not acceptable, then I'll turn it off. But I don't want to turn it off and start the video again. But let me just do one thing. I apologize for doing this on the air. Let's see what we sound like here real quick. All right, let's see what we sound like here. Let's hear real quick. All right, let's see what we sound like here. Let's hear real quick. All right, let's see what we sound like here. Huh. Not the best, but we'll deal with it. If you can deal with it, I can deal with it. And yeah, we'll have to figure things out. All right, let's get to it. We've done roll call. Let's get going on a bunch of different stuff here, because everyone's going to be like, I'm going to leave you. All right, here it is from last night. This is Anthony Slater from his seat, and then we'll talk about it. Harrison Barnes gets his revenge. Here's what it looked and sounded like. All right, enough of that, and we'll play. And let me just show you the box score here, because it's to me, this is one thing. I can explain a lot of things about sports, and I love talking about sports, and I do enjoy it and all these kind of things. But you get something like this, and I don't even know how to explain what this is. Here it is right here. So the Warriors come out. There's your final box score. Let me just go by the quarters, all right? So you look at the bottom there. The Warriors come out. They're rocking and rolling, 32-23. And they think after the first quarter, we can just throw our sneakers or whatever you want to call it. We can just throw our shoes on the court. We're fine. Spurs outscore them 32-19. The Warriors go into halftime. Steve Kerr bitches and moans. Third quarter, they come out. They outscore them 37-21. They think to themselves, we've got this thing. And then San Antonio blows them out 38-23. With as much as on the line and you just blew these guys out, it would be human nature to think to yourself, all we got to do is show up. As long as the bus doesn't break down and they don't take a bus, as long as everybody's vehicle makes it to the game, we should absolutely blow them out. You look at the first quarter, and that's where you see all this confidence coming from. And, you know, you're okay, there you go. And then you go to the second quarter, and they just completely fall asleep. You get outscored by 13 in the second quarter, and you're just like, what are you doing? You go 6-22 from the floor. Those kind of stuff, things happen. Okay, Steve Kerr yells at you. It's halftime. You come out in the third quarter, and you're like, okay, we got this. You outscore them by 16 in the third quarter. Steph Curry goes off 5-9, 4-6, 14 points. All right, we got these guys, right? It was the non-Curry minute. Same thing beginning in the fourth quarter. San Antonio comes back. You let him hang around. We're going to hear from Draymond Green in just a second. You let him hang around. They gain some confidence. We see this in professional sports all the time. Are these guys better than the Warriors? Absolutely not. But if you give them confidence, especially a bunch of young guys, and listen, outside of, I mean, you look at Harrison Barnes, he's a vet. Bismack Biyombo, he's the guy. Chris Paul's a veteran. So they got some guys that if you let them hang around, they'll just be like, well, why don't we just win the game? I mean, we are packing, and we've got our golf clubs out, and we really don't care. And if they would just, you know, consistently play, then we'd be fine. But if you look at the Warriors here and look at the scores, okay, Jimmy Butler showed up, 5-8, 16 of 17 from the free throw line. That's what Jimmy Butler does. Steph Curry shows up, and this is why I was saying yesterday, the key to the Warriors going deep in the playoffs is not Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green and Steph Curry, because if you look at what they did last night, Steph 12 of 24, 5 of 14, he scores 30. That's what Steph does. Jimmy Butler 5 of 8, but 16 of 17 from the line, he scores 28. That's what he does. Draymond Green 13 points, 9 boards, 8 assists. That's a good box score for him. But let's look at the other guys. Brandon Podziemski. Remember I said yesterday he's the key to the playoff run, the absolute key if Brandon Podziemski plays the way that he's been playing? 3 for 11, 1 of 5, 7 points in 33 minutes of action. Total no-show. Jonathan Kuminga. He was okay, but if you watch the game, he just wasn't as impactful. Buddy Hield, they do a heat check on Buddy and say, you know, all right, 4 of 13, 4 of 10, not horrible. But you see the rest of the way, and this is going to kind of be in the playoffs, they're going to kind of cut this thing down a little bit. Looney played a little bit. Santos played a little bit. You know, they're going to cut the bench down quite a bit. So the Warriors, just the secondary players didn't show up, and therefore they get beat. Let me play something from Draymond Green, though. And this is what – and maybe this isn't fair, but I put this on Draymond a lot because – he is supposed to be the emotional leader. He is the defensive leader of this team, but he is by far the defensive leader of this team. And so what should be happening if Draymond Green is on the floor is there shouldn't be these letdowns. Or Jimmy Butler, I thought, was kind of the backup to that. There shouldn't be letdowns when these kind of guys are on the floor. Here's Draymond, and he often does this where he only almost talks in third person like he wasn't part of the game. But I put a lot of this on him because he is the emotional leader. So here's what Draymond said after the game.
Fourth quarter happened, and second quarter. End of the first quarter, second quarter, we just started giving up straight line drives. They found a rhythm. That's when it happened. We found a way to get the lead back, but we never don't mess around with games. Mess around with games in this league, you lose.
Okay, so why was there a mess around? Why were you messing around? Why couldn't you, as the emotional leader, and this is what I will charge you, because yes, Steve Kerr should get a team ready, but players play coaches coach. Players play coaches coach. You're Draymond Green. Part of the reason you make so much money, you're a really good defender. Your offensive, you know, your 3-point game has come along. You've worked hard at it. We can obviously see those kind of things, but the number one thing you bring to the table, and you talk about this all the time, I can only play one way. You're supposed to call out guys. You're an energy guy. You're the leader. You're the one who we take the temperature on and we look at you. So I'm going to blame everybody because everybody deserves blame, and we love after losses like this to dissect the blame. There's no way San Antonio should be around you, but it was kind of a perfect storm. You just played him. You just blew him out. You know you weren't emotionally ready. Well, you're Draymond Green. You're the emotional leader of the team. You should have sensed that right from get-go. All right, we blew him out in the first quarter, but that doesn't mean anything, guys. And I'm sure Steve Kerr said it, but a lot of times it just takes a player. And it takes Draymond Green, and he's the one. And then he kind of talks in a third-person-ish kind of a way, like, I wasn't part of it. You know, like he's on TNT, and he's analyzing, and he's constantly talking about what other players should be doing on his podcast, if he gets a TNT part, you know, whatever. He's always talking about what other players need to do. How about you worry about your team, your closet, your family, your house? And when you lose a game like that, because it could have, and let's go down to changes outlook, and then we'll hit standings. Let me just hit the standings right now, because to me, if they stay in their current place, this just, I'm not going to say it changes everything, but kind of changes a lot, because I'm looking at this whole thing. Okay, box score. Let me look at the, let me see here. I got so many things up on this old deal. Right there. There's the, that's what's going on today, which we're already here, so we might as well just hit this real quick. So games that would matter tonight right there, Timberwolves and Grizzlies. And I'm the one who was, the Grizzlies are out. Well, they're ahead of the Warriors now. So the Grizzlies and the Timberwolves is a big game because you have the tiebreaker over the Timberwolves. Let me stop sharing that. I gave you the wrong thing there. Let me give you what the bracket looks like right now, which I love to do, and you know that. Let's share the screen. And let's see, there it is, right there. Get this off my screen, please. There you go. So this is what this did last night. So I'm complaining, you know, the Grizzlies are ahead of the Warriors. I'm sitting there going, I buried the Grizzlies long ago because they changed their coach. But I really look at the Denver Nuggets and I say, well, all right, because we're starting to hear exactly what I said yesterday, that Mike Malone was just grating on people. And so I'm not so sure that they're not going to be better. But as we look at this right now, so the Timberwolves can win tonight. They'll go 47-33 if they do. Warriors are idle, but the what happens with the Warriors is they're sitting in that seven. And I've said this many, many times. Okay, you might think to yourself, you know what, Lund, you said you don't want to see the Nuggets. All right, so who didn't see the Nuggets? The Lakers are going to be a tough matchup. They always seem to be, even though I say they were tougher with Anthony Davis than they are Luka Doncic, even though Doncic is the better player, if that makes any kind of sense. It's just a matchup thing. But the reason I hate the play-in is, all right, Anthony Edwards gets hot and you lose. Could happen. And you could still, 47-33, you could lose to the Clippers on that final game, and all of a sudden the Timberwolves could jump you, and now you got to go to Minnesota. But regardless, you just lost at home to San Antonio. So you can lose to anybody. You can lose to anybody. Last night for the Warriors, even though it was San Antonio and they clearly didn't take them seriously, that was a playoff game last night. They knew it. They were focused. Steph played well. Draymond played well. But yeah, the secondary guys just didn't show up. And that was a home game. And that's not normal. So all of a sudden, you're playing the Timberwolves. You lose that game. Your season's not over. But now you play the winner of the 9-10. The Kings have knocked you out of the play-in before. I don't think they'd beat the Warriors, but who the hell knows? And you get that game at home. And then the Mavericks, who they didn't look great last night, but you're talking Anthony Davis, who gives the Warriors all sorts of trouble, and all of a sudden, here you are trying to fight your way into the playoffs. There's a ton of pressure on you in that kind of a situation. Maybe they, because they're veterans, they step up and they're fine. But if you lose that 7-8, then you're playing the Thunder in the first round. And I've said this many, many times, I think they're an 82 season team at 66-14. They're great. They have a lot of depth, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander gets the line a lot. I think in the playoffs, those kind of things change because your bench shortens and you don't get as many calls in going to the line. So could the Warriors beat the Thunder? Yeah, they could beat the Thunder, but that's an awful tall task. And then just playing in the play-in, and then you get the Rockets in the first round. And I'm not saying that they couldn't beat the Rockets. I said this. I think it's advantageous that they played the Rockets late in the season, because one of the things the Warriors do so well is they figure out a team. So they're in a playoff series and they figure out a team. And I think they would figure out the Rockets. I do. I think they would win that series against the Rockets. I think they beat the Grizzlies. I think they would beat the Clippers, although we would have to see where Kawhi is. The Lakers and the Nuggets make me nervous because of their experience. So, you know, part of me says, well, you know what? If they play the Timberwolves, they beat the Timberwolves, no big deal. They're the 2-7 against the Rockets. They could win that series. In fact, I think they would. And then they would play the Lakers for the right to go to the other side of the bracket. So is it the worst thing in the world? No. But it scares the hell out of me in that you lose a home game to San Antonio and you had no reason to lose that game other than the fact that you just thought, we'll show up, throw our shoes on the floor, and we got this. And while I'm not panicking completely, we can throw this off the screen now. While I'm not panicking completely, this is on Steve Kerr for not having the team prepared, even though players play coaches coach. This is on Draymond Green, the emotional leader. This is on Steph Curry, as great as Steph Curry is. He's not beyond reproach in these kind of situations. How are you not ready to take on the San Antonio Spurs? How are you not ready? Okay, we played the first quarter. We're good. Uh-oh, second quarter, they caught us. Okay, guys, we're really going to take them seriously. Third quarter, you blow them out. How do you – this just happened to you. Great first quarter, bad second quarter. Great third quarter. How are you going to finish? Because San Antonio is sitting on their side going, hey, man, if you could just put us out of our misery early in this quarter, we're good. Even if they have Chris Paul, they've got veterans, Harrison Barnes is on that team, guys who have won before, but they've got their golf clubs in the car. You just blew the doors off these guys a couple of days ago. They're not good enough, these Warriors. They used to be, but they were winning 73 games in championship. You could play a quarter and win a game. You can play a couple of quarters and win a game, but you can't do that. They're not light years. This isn't that team. And we get excited about them, and Jimmy did what he's supposed to do last night, and Draymond for the most part did, and Steph Curry did. But this team is reliant on other players to get them where they want to go. We just talked about this yesterday, you and I. Brandon Podziemski, Jonathan Kuminga. You know, guys like that, Moses Moody, they've got to have those guys step up. It's not enough to just have the big three do their thing and then nobody else give them a damn thing. They just can't do it. And defensively last night, it was a joke. There's no Victor Wembanyama on this team. They've closed it down, man. They're trying to get in the lottery. The players want to win, but the front office is like, God damn it. You gotta be kidding me, man. So I think this is the whole reason why I liked them playing the Rockets just a few days ago and then potentially would see them in the playoffs. It's because they got a good look at the Rockets. Same thing in San Antonio. It was probably the worst thing in the world. They just blow the doors off them the other night. And so they walk in here and they're like, we got these guys. Had that game even been close, like let's say they win, but it's close, then they have a little bit of a respect for the Spurs. They walked into this place going, please, we just smoked these guys by, what, 40? Like, this isn't even going to be a game. Like, get ready, guys. This is going to be all the backups. We're going to be laughing on the bench, you know, middle of the third quarter. At what point, and this is where I don't understand a professional athlete's mind. At what point do you switch it into gear and why can't you? Like, people say during a game, it's like, yeah, because they're like, oh, they weren't ready. Well, were they ready at halftime when San Antonio made the big run on them and absolutely smoked them? And it was like, whoa, 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 let's wake up. Then you get the run on them in the third quarter, and then you fall asleep again. Like, they just did this to you. From the first to the second quarter, they just did this to you. So you come out, you play a great quarter after Steve Kerr screams and yells and bitches and moans, and then you just fall asleep again. Okay, finally, jeez. All right, we got these guys. Like, what, are you kidding? Anyway, just a bit of a rant. Because I cannot get into the mind of an athlete because I just don't know. But I'm just looking at this going, how? Like, how does this possibly happen? Like, what could be the explanation for knowing that you need to win all the games and playing San Antonio, your last three? It's like a gift from the basketball gods. Here's San Antonio, who stinks. Here's Portland, who stinks. Both teams have their golf clubs in their car. And then you get the Clippers at home, and that's not going to be an easy game, but you get them at home, and potentially that's for, you know, moving up to four or five or in one of these places so you can get in a more advantageous position. And right now, to me, the Lakers are clearly going to be the three. I still think Denver is going to be the four. You could have been the five. And again, you and I have talked about this a lot. Okay, you want to avoid Denver. Maybe this isn't the worst thing in the world. I understand that mentality. But having to play an extra game means more wear and tear on an older team, potentially getting hurt. Anthony Edwards, just as the sit is as it sits right now, this 7-8 matchup, you'd be welcoming the Minnesota Timberwolves into town. And it's like, okay, all of a sudden Anthony Edwards goes for 45, you know, 50, whatever it is. And then all of a sudden you find yourself losing. And now you get all this pressure on you because, hell, Joe Lacob paid for Jimmy Butler. Like, how will Joe Lacob, let's just say for the sake of conversation, and I know I'm going to the negative side here, but let's just say they got knocked out some weird reason like that, and we're all happy, and Jimmy Butler's here, and Joe Lacob's spending money. All of a sudden, Joe Lacob is a guy who just got knocked out in the play-in round again, and he spent the money for Jimmy Butler. How do you think he's going to react? He's going to react like Jed York has with the 49ers. What the hell am I paying for? What is this? And even if it was a first round and out, like, if they're on the side of the Thunder and get knocked out, if they got knocked out by the Rockets, I mean, these playoffs aren't going to be easy regardless. I'm more fearful of the veteran teams, of the Lakers, of the Nuggets, of the teams who have won it, than I am the younger teams. So maybe this could be, you know, a blessing in disguise, that they would go to the seven, they would beat the Timberwolves, they would play the Rockets. They just saw the Rockets. So maybe that's a good, you know, maybe that's a good thing. And I'm doing all this for naught. But man, you watch a game like last night, you're just like, How is San Antonio even in the game? They don't want to win. I mean, their players do if it stays close, but if they're down 15-20, it's like, eh, we're good. Please, we're seriously, put us out of our misery. Nope, not going to do it. We're going to let you hang around. Then by that point, they're like, eh, might as well win. You know, we have enough veterans on this team, and Harrison Barnes, Chris Paul, enough guys have done it. They have tons of young guys, but enough veterans have won on this team to be like, eh, might as well just stay to them. I mean, if they're going to just hand it to us on a platter and they don't care, that's a disappointing loss. Easily the most disappointing. And I know people do this all throughout the season. That's the most disappointing loss of the year. I mean, it's not even close. Not even close. So anyway, Barnes revenge, Golden State the seventh, changes outlook to me, and we already showed you the standings. I do. I look at this team sometimes, and I just go, now this is a team that we're talking about to the finals, right, or can do something or can make a run. Or, you know, they're 21-6. I think now 21-7 with Jimmy Butler. Man, they can do this. You know, every single day, it's like an angel and a devil. We can do this. No, we can't. You know, or vice versa, I guess. We can do this. No, you can't. You know, that's how I look at this team. They're so Jekyll and Hyde. And I'm like, how can a team with Steph Curry and Draymond Green and Jimmy Butler and the leaders that they are on and off the court, how can they lay an egg like this? I can never get into the mind of a professional athlete. Never. And I don't expect, like, you know, there's, I don't know, a guy who has 500 or 600 at-bats in the season in baseball, and we expect him to be locked in on every at-bat. That's not realistic. That's not possible. I understand that. But, man, last night, I mean, that's just like, you're not on the road. You don't have any injuries. They're coming off a back-to-back just like you are, so that's not an excuse. you're at home. Like, I'm just like, they lost to the Clippers the night before, so they got to travel. You blew out the Suns the night before. You didn't have to play anybody. It's not like you had to play guys up until the fourth quarter. The game that you should have had last night, you had in Phoenix the night before. So you're laughing. It wasn't a big deal. Going from Phoenix to San Francisco on a private plane is not that big of a deal. There's no excuse. Like, I thought about it before the show today. What's the excuse? What other than blaming Steve Kerr for not having him ready and blaming Draymond Green for not being emotionally ready, and during the game not being able to say, hey, guys, we got to take these guys seriously. Like, they just made a run at us. Like, at halftime, it's like, guys, let's put a half together. Not a quarter, not third quarter. Like, they came out in the third quarter, they put pedal to the metal, and they thought, we don't even need to play the fourth quarter. You just did this from first to second. Don't do it from third to fourth. You let them hang around. All right, I'm done. Give me your thoughts. That one, I don't know. I don't know why I get so worked up over something like that. Maybe it'll change nothing, but, man, you're watching that, and you're just like, what are you doing? Yeah. Crazy, man. Just crazy. No lead is ever safe. I would agree with you. In the NBA, that's the thing. With the three ball around and everything, you could be up. You used to be able to be up in the league 12, 15 points, feel pretty good about things. And I'll watch with my wife all the time. And she's like, well, they should be pretty good. They're up 18. I'm like, not in this league. Because you know what starts to happen, especially in the worst case? And this is why Jimmy Butler's so great. And he gets to the line like 17 times last night. Usually what's happening with this team is if offensively they're struggling, Jimmy Butler senses it and goes, okay, I'll get to the line. He did that last night. They just didn't play any defense. And at times, they're just like, how can you not have intensity? There's three games left. This isn't the dog days. This isn't like February, March. This is like, we got three games. We win these three games. We're probably the five. We might be the four, but we're probably the five, maybe the four. And now you're sitting in the seven going, damn, we're going to play one game playoffs. We're going to play Minnesota. If they beat us, then we got to play maybe Dallas with Anthony Davis, who crushes us. And, yeah, you should win that. But if you lose to San Antonio at home, you can lose to anybody. Like, we can't sit here today and go, well, they'll beat Minnesota. Are you sure? They'll beat Dallas. Are you sure? Because who does San Antonio have? Bunch of young guys. Victor Wembanyama didn't play last night. Yeah, I don't know if you know that. De'Aaron Fox didn't play last night. Don't know if you know that. He shut those guys down because management's like, please stop winning. Please, we want another lottery pick or trade or something. Someone explained to me, that's a sports psychologist, how the hell this works. No idea. All right, so that's what's going on as far as the Warriors are concerned. We played Luka last night. You can tell a lot of things were said. A lot of things were written about this whole thing. He got blindsided and all this kind of stuff. Fired Nico Chance throughout. There's a video of Mark Cuban just with his head in his hands. And the thing about Cuban is, and look, he's rich and this and that and the other, but for years he built this team up, and then in one fell swoop on one given night, the new ownership just said, to hell with it, man. We don't want to give this guy an extension. He looks fat and roly-poly to me. He doesn't look like he's dedicated to the craft. You know what? We're not going for this. And then they trade the guy, and they don't understand the market, and they don't understand where basketball is in Dallas, and it's just the whole thing. They missed the point. So the Mavericks and their fans welcomed him back last night, and he was pretty emotional. Here's Luka Doncic being reintroduced in Dallas, but this time as a Laker. There's Luka Doncic. You can tell he's very emotional, the whole thing. Honestly, as I was watching that last night, it reminded me if the Warriors traded Steph Curry in the prime of his career. Like, not right now. Like I said, I said this the other day, that without the Jimmy Butler trade, they'd be the Suns. They'd be damn close to the Suns. That's where I think they'd be sitting. I think they'd be down with the Kings, and I think they'd be it would be an issue, and I think Steph would have to be traded in the offseason, and they'd have to restart some things. But that's what it felt like to me. And I just still can't get my head around the fact that you trade a player of this magnitude at the age of 26. You just don't do those kind of things. And Anthony Davis is a nice player, and he's going to the Hall of Fame. We've talked about this a million times. But they loved him. He loved them. It's a football-crazed area, so you have to have that player. You have to have that guy that's going to bring them out, because these new owners don't understand, because they don't live in Dallas. They're from Las Vegas, the Adelsons, that Luka Doncic was the only thing bringing people out to games. Because on Friday night, it's high school football. You can't even imagine. I've told you this story before. My wife and I, we live by a place called South Lake High School. It's the equivalent of De La Salle in Dallas. And it's a 60,000-seat stadium. It was probably 2 miles from our house. And you didn't even have to make a reservation on Friday night. You could go to any restaurant you wanted from about – the game started at 7. So if you wanted to make like a 6:30 reservation, 7 o'clock reservation, nothing before that because everyone's eating beforehand. So like 5 to 7, you could get in. But once that game started in South Lake, Texas, and we lived in a place called Grapevine, which was adjacent to South Lake, my wife and I, we could go to any restaurant we wanted. There was no one in there. So like the reservation from like 7 to 9, 6:30 to 9, something like that, we could go to any restaurant on Friday night, did not have to make a reservation. Then we would bail out of there as fast as we could, because around 9:30, all these cars, like it was a college or a professional thing. That was Friday night in Texas. And then Saturday, between TCU, Texas A&M, Texas, like Oklahoma, like that whole thing was just, it's all college football. So it's all just packed with like sports bars and everything else. And then Sunday's the Cowboys, and everyone's absolutely crazy for them or hates them, even in Texas. It's one way or the other. So you get Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it's all about football. And then it's about football, talking about football week long. So the Mavericks are generally irrelevant. Like I said, they went to the NBA Finals when I was there. They lost to the Mavericks, to the Warriors in the We Believe the first year that I was there. So, I mean, I saw them run the gamut. But if the Mavericks don't have some like Dirk Nowitzki or Luka Doncic, people don't care. So for him to come back, and he was embraced the way he was, and they went to – and here's the other thing, too. They went to the NBA Finals last year. He carried them on his back to the NBA Finals. And the next year, you're like, you know what? We're not going to extend this guy. He's fat. He's got dad bod. Like, that's if Kansas City would trade Patrick Mahomes or something. Like, I get it, man. You know, you want a guy to be – like, we're coming up on the draft. We want a guy to be, a certain speed, fast, this, that, the other. But it's like – what are you doing? And you got Anthony Davis. I understand that. And then a lot of people have said they didn't talk to anybody else around the league. Could you imagine what they could have gotten for Luka Doncic, the Mavericks, had they shopped him around the league? No, I understand. Then all the shows would have been talking about it. And then your leverage, you probably lose your leverage, but you got to call around to at least a few teams and go, hey, you know, we got a trade on the table, Anthony Davis. And you didn't get Austin Reeves in that trade. Like, you got to tell the Lakers, like, look, I'm giving you Luka. Like, Anthony Davis is okay, but you've got to throw in Reeves or there's just no deal. That's it. I mean, you have to win the deal decidedly. But here's a guy that you can tell by just the tears in his eyes. Like, he wanted to be there. He was completely shocked by the trade. And at some point, and this is something I believe about the Lakers, and let's move on with the conversation, because it's kind of we try to make everything kind of Warriors adjacent, which is, I don't know how far the Lakers are going to go. They're the most fascinating team other than the Warriors, because we care so much, in the Western Conference, because I don't know how they're going to be in the playoffs. Part of me says, well, you know, Luka's been successful in the playoffs. LeBron's won multiple championships. They're going to be something to be reckoned with. Reeves is a nice player, but they don't have the size of Anthony Davis. So to me, that changes everything to them. And when you're watching the Lakers, and I've tried to watch them a lot down the stretch, because I know they're always talked about, I watch Luka stand around a lot. And then if Luka's dominating the ball, I watch LeBron stand around a lot. And it's my turn, your turn, my turn, your turn, my turn, your turn. It's not like when Durant came to the Warriors. So I don't know how effective they're going to be in the playoffs. Maybe they can mesh very quickly. I wouldn't be surprised that they were knocked out early in the playoffs. They're not trading Luka. The reason they got him is so that he could be their franchise icon and face for the next 10 years. It wouldn't shock me in the offseason if they don't perform well in the playoffs together, that LeBron James would be on another team, because it's not that really his game has dropped off all that much, but he's got to dominate the ball. And Luka's got to dominate the ball. That's what they do, and players play off of them. They're not Robins at any point. They're Batman. I'm Batman. So it's not like LeBron's going to stand in the corner and wait for Luka to kick it and vice versa. That's just not how they play. They set their own shots up. They set their teammates up. And what you want is you want really skilled shooters around those guys. I mean, Austin Reeves, he's sitting there going, either Luka or LeBron's hit me with a pass. And they're going to get double teamed and they're going to go to the ball and I'm going to be standing. I mean, there's a reason why he's having the season of his life, because he's got two guys that are ball dominant that are probably looking to kick it to him, because if they're going to kick it to the other guy that's the ball dominant guy, that's not really their game. So I don't know what the Lakers are going to do, but that was interesting in watching that last night for Luka. So Luka returns to Dallas. That's Dallas Doncic, right? This is what you wanted to get to. I know this entire time, the Giants walk off the Reds to salvage a game. And here's what it sounded like on NBC Sports Bay Area.
High drive to right. It is out of here. And we are going home.
First and foremost, Kipe is so good on walk-offs. I mean, he's good in general and he's such a great guy, but he's so good on walk-offs, man. So that was amazing. Yaz gets the splash hit again. He said after the game that his daughter wanted to splash it. So the first home run he hits, he promised her a home run. Second home run he hits was a splash hit, and he promised her a splash hit. So Yaz gets the hit. And as I'm going to show you the box score for the game in just a second. But that Giants have it. They just, they're down in the game. They're grinding. And in baseball, I really believe this, that when you – this could mean nothing at the end of the season and they could win 75 games, and I'm fully aware of that. But what happens early in the season when you get these games, and I've attended two games and both are walk-offs, so it's probably my good luck. Actually, it's not. But when you start to have these situations, you believe that you can do it. And if you haven't done it, then back of your mind, you're thinking, okay, we're going to be done. But I go back to, because the A's had a number of teams like this that weren't the most talented teams, but they won the AL West, when the Giants were winning World Series. They had a lot of talent and they had a lot of fun. They're doing the pies and Reddick's doing the Spider-Man and they're doing all that kind of stuff. And they just believed that, late in the game, somebody was going to make a play. Somebody was going to get a hit. So it's been Flores, who, by the way, his home run gets lost in the eighth inning because of the Yaz walk-off, but without his, obviously, they're not where they are. So Yaz has been big so far this season, there's no doubt. Flores has had a bunch of key hits. Jung-Hoo Lee has had some really good at-bats, scored some runs, done those kind of things. Obviously, Willy Adames, who, if you look at the hole, you're going, not great numbers, but he had a walk-off last Friday. So when you keep doing this, you start to gain this confidence that you're like, we can do this. We're never out of a game. And that starts kind of early in the season. So that's a great sign for the Giants. But let me pop the box up here for just a second, because a few things jump out here. That's the Warriors box. Don't want that. Standings. There we go. So here's the box on the 8-6 win. Here's what stands out. So Lamont Wade Jr., and I'm not advocating that he's, out of the lineup, but remember, he had three hits in one game. He's hitting 105. It might be a situation where, you're going on the road now, you're playing the Yankees. Do you drop him down in the order? I get it. He's supposedly an on-base machine, but I'm not saying Jung-Hoo Lee. Jung-Hoo Lee's in a great spot in number three, so I'm not gonna put him down in the lineup. But depending on a pitcher, do I move Yastrzemski up there? He's hot right now. Fitzgerald did get a couple of hits. There were some rumblings. Oh, what about Tyler Fitzgerald at second base? He's got some speed. I don't know. Just Lamont Wade Jr. to me right now, one three-hit game, and basically the rest of the season, he's just really struggled. And it's early. I understand that. We're only 11 games into the season. They'll take today off, and then they'll go on and take on the Yankees. But if your leadoff hitter is hitting 105, that's not great. And Lamont Wade Jr. is usually a guy that, you're seeing his on-base percentage in the 400s. It's at 146, so he's not walking. He's not hitting. As they said in Office Space, what would you say you do here? So it's something they got to take a look at offensively. I'm not doing anything with Adames. Jung-Hoo Lee, I want to play this for you. This is from MLB Network, and I don't know who is doing this. Let's put a pin in that because I want to go through the rest of the box, and then we'll do that. I don't want to jump back and forth. Chapman is off to a slow start, fine. Ramos has had a bunch of key hits, so better than what his average is. Yaz, we just talked about. Flores, a bunch of key hits. Bailey's going to be what Bailey is. He's going to be a really good defensive catcher. And at times, he had a couple of hits yesterday, and at times, he's going to come through in the clutch. He just has. And then it was a good sign to see Tyler Fitzgerald get a couple of hits yesterday, because there was some buzz going around going, okay, how long do you give Tyler Fitzgerald? You're going to give Wade more time. He's a veteran. I understand that. I'm just saying maybe you drop him in the order. But Tyler Fitzgerald, a little buzz going into yesterday going, what about this guy? So I'm going to play something from Jung-Hoo Lee in just a second. But then you go to Verlander. When you watched Verlander yesterday, his stuff was better than the results. But that's hard to sell to somebody. So if you look at the ERA there, 6.92, goes 5 2/3, 6 runs, 5 earned, did strike out 9. So he had some nasty stuff, did throw 90 pitches, which is a lot, obviously, for 5 2/3. But as you can see by the 9 strikeouts, he had some nasty stuff going, had some bad luck. But the bottom line is the bottom line, 5 2/3, 5 earned runs. I'm not saying that you do anything with Justin Verlander. It takes a little longer, I'm sure, for a 42-year-old guy to get everything greased up and ready to go. So he's going to stay in there. But here's the big part. Trevino comes in there, gives up nothing. Rodriguez has been absolutely great so far. You might – and he's in leverage situations, but you might want to look at a situation where he's your seventh-inning guy or a higher leverage guy. He's off to a tremendous start. Tyler Rogers, I'm always scratching my head on Rogers going, oh, scares the hell out of you. But he gets it done. Ryan Walker there at the bottom, and then Eric Miller ends up getting the win, and he's actually been really good so far. He, to me, is kind of like, but he's off to a really good start. No runs by the bullpen. No runs from the bullpen. They've saved these guys a few times, some starts that haven't been so good. In fact, Verlander last Friday when they got the game winner from Willy Adames, the single to right. And then, of course, last night, or yesterday, I should say, with Mike Yastrzemski and his shot. So Verlander, not great, but you get a bullpen going together like these guys have got the bullpen going together right now. And so there's some really good signs. If your bullpen is going to be like that, I don't know what to make of Verlander yet, but I do know this. Webb's going to be Webb. Hicks is off to a good start. Robbie Ray looks like his old self. If you have three really good starters, solid starters, and then a bullpen like this, you're going to be okay. Now you've got to worry about – and Roop has been good so far. Birdsong was good the other day. They deserved a better fate than they ended up getting. So we'll see on Verlander. Jury out. He's 42. Great name. Jury is out. Guy's 42 years old, so I'm a little bit nervous. But let me do two things on Jung-Hoo Lee because he's starting to get a little bit of love here. Number one, let me see. Where is that? Oh, here. This was just like crazy predictions, and I don't know why ESPN is doing it now, but they put together a column and had a bunch of stuff with some wacky predictions yesterday, and this is one they had on Jung-Hoo Lee. Giants center fielder Jung-Hoo Lee will win the batting title and finish in the top 5 in MVP voting. So let's just say for the sake of conversation, this is wild and wacky. It's ESPN. Make sure that you click on this. These are wild, wacky predictions. But if somehow, I don't think it's going to happen, but if somehow Jung-Hoo Lee would win the NL batting title and be in the top 5 in NL voting, they would keep this up. Because I think Adames is going to be Adames. Matt Chapman will do his normal thing, you know, probably – you know, up and down, but all of a sudden you look at the end of the year, he's got 27 homers, knocks in like 80 runs. He's going to do what he's going to do. Ramos looks like he's off to a really nice start. Yaz will go up and down. He's going to, as hot as he is right now, he's going to get that cold. That's just what Yaz does. So, you know, I look across the board, Lamont Wade Jr. sticks out like a sore thumb to me. But I mean, if that's who Jung-Hoo Lee is going to be, my goodness. So he's had some really good at bats. He hasn't been as high profile maybe on some of the things, but this is MLB Network yesterday, and I'm not sure who this is talking, but this is MLB Network, and they're heaping all sorts of love on Jung-Hoo Lee. Take a watch of this.
Here go. You feel like you're going to get this everyday player coming out, be a spark plug for your team. And yes, he tried to be a spark plug with making this play. Unfortunately, you get the big shoulder injury. You end up missing the rest of the season. Tough spot. But this year, the hooligans are out. Yes. The fans are showing up. He has a fan base. He's having fun. You're getting back an elite defensive center fielder that you can know can man the field every day. You're seeing a great athletic plays. He's not timid out there. He's not apprehensive. And the hooligans are loving every bit of it. But he's been in the three hole this entire season, and he's gaining a fan base. Not your typical power hitter for three hole, but today he showed off his attributes and what he can do to bring your team back into the game. He's a great accessory to this lineup. He's not going to be the guy who carries the freight. He's just not. That's not the type of player he is. He's normally a typical leadoff hitter, but in the three spot, he doesn't strike out a lot. He can barrel the ball up on a consistent basis. You see his numbers in the KBO. This is a guy who gets on base at a high clip, and this year hopefully is much closer to the player he's going to be as opposed to what we saw from him last year. And
all right, so there's little Jung-Hoo Lee right there getting a lot of love. And I agree. Just look at his at-bats. You know, his numbers are good right now, but his at-bats are absolutely great. Early in the season, he said getting on base, getting some walks, scoring some runs. He's just done a lot of great things. He has solidified center field, obviously, in the way that he's playing defense. So, you know, for a lot of us who were sitting there, and I said this in the offseason, and we're only 11 games into the season, so I'm not going to put him in the bank, as we talk about the bank all the time. You know, last year, the guy hit 262. He had a 641 OPS. He was a plus defender in center field, there's no doubt. But I'm looking, you know, too many times we as fans, we look at a contract, and then that's what we base the expectation level on for a guy. So I'm looking at Jung-Hoo Lee going, they gave him, what, $120 million, whatever it was, $113 million, whatever the number was for Jung-Hoo Lee. And Korean players haven't established themselves like Japanese players, so you kind of have a question about it. You kind of scratch your head and go, is this guy going to be any good? So, you know, he's off to a great start. It's kind of like Ramos to me is, I always ask, is Ramos going to be the first half guy or the second half guy? Well, right now he's the first half guy. That's good. First half from last year. Jung-Hoo Lee is showing maybe why they gave him all the money. I think the thing is, and we forget about this a lot. I talk about this all the time. Like we pour a guy out of a locker and he just plays and he's not emotional. He's like a robot. You come over from Korea to the major leagues, there's just going to be an adjustment from a personal standpoint. And it seems to me that he's been here before, and even though he was injured, he was around the team a lot last year, and he just feels a lot more comfortable in the major leagues in his second year being in San Francisco. That's what it looks like to me, that you're talking about a guy who's comfortable, and that's why I want to go down to the park and talk to more people, and I talked to a couple of people yesterday about it. It's just he feels more comfortable. It's his second year. He just – nothing's a surprise to him, and it's not just – you go to the field and you try to stay focused, but you can hear like a guy like Jarius Ward last year. His daughter passes away. Now, I'm not comping that to Jung-Hoo Lee, but what I'm saying is it's pretty dramatic to move from Korea to the United States and then just have people say, okay, just be great like you were in that. Well, it's like, yeah, there was a comfort level and I knew everything and I knew where to eat and I knew where to go and you know all these kind of things. And now he's in his second year and those things aren't on his mind. You know, where do I go? Where do I eat? Who can I talk to? Who within the organization, you know, understands, yeah, I got an interpreter, but, you know, now he knows, now he's comfortable, and I just think it's showing in his play. And 11 games in, that's all we have to go on. I don't like the term small sample size. This is what we know about him right now. This is the way that he's playing. He's much more comfortable in the three hole. So as I look at Lamont Wade Jr. hitting 105 with an on-base percentage of 146, I'm not advocating moving Jung-Hoo Lee up because I just think he's so comfortable that you don't want to do that. I could look at some other options there because I can't have my leadoff hitter hitting 105 with a 146 on base. I just cannot. So the Giants have it, the Yaz walk-off, Verlander concern. Penn is great. That's where we are as far as the Giants are concerned. Give me your thoughts on the Giants as I'll head out to the chat lines to get your thoughts on it. But look, they're a fun team to watch. Tomorrow, Krug and I will do the bottom of the pint. So if you are so inclined, please tomorrow jump on my page. And I don't mean to sound greedy here because I don't want to make it sound like it's, you know, you got to pay me and do this, but we're going to be chugging beers and stuff when we do the supers. If you do the super in my room on a Friday, I get it. If you do it in his room, then he gets it. That's just kind of how it is. So we do stuff together. It's very confusing. So I'm just saying, not going to harp on that kind of stuff. But is the game 3:30 tomorrow? Maybe that's when the pregame's on. Let me ask Siri. Hey, Siri, when do the Yankees and Giants play tomorrow? Let's see what she says. I think 3:30 might be the pregame. Come on, man. 4:05. So we'll be on about 4 o'clock. We'll probably go a little bit before. So 4 o'clock tomorrow on both this fine channel, John Lund Unleashed, and on the Krug Show, we will we'll have that ready. Probably about 4 o'clock. So it says 4:05 for that game tomorrow. So 4 o'clock. Make sure that you hit us up. All right, what do we got before we move on to some draft discussion? Some draft discussion, I tell you. Let's see here. What do we got? Again, you can hit me up. Anything about the Warriors, your confusion level as I'm watching that game, I'm like, what in the what? We can talk about Yaz's walk-off. Do you think the Giants have it? I feel like they have it. By the way, you want to see something cool? Let me show you this. I just thought this was fun. I know it's way too early, but let me just show you this. There you go. Boom. Look at that. Yeah, there's Bochy's Rangers up there. Look at that. Right at the top. So you might want to take a screenshot of that because I don't know how long it's going to last. But the Padres are off to a great start, 10-3. The Giants at 9-3. Phillies, Dodgers, Mets come into Sacramento. The Cubs have scored a ton of runs this year. They look pretty good. You know what's funny? We're only 10 now, with the exception of Atlanta. Atlanta's sitting at 2-9. That's not going to happen. But you know what's so interesting about it is you look right now, the Rockies stink. That's where they're going to be. Atlanta's going to be different. Pittsburgh, I don't think, is very good. Cincinnati's not bad. They might be able to move up. The Nationals are about where I think they're going to be. Cardinals are about where they're going to be. Marlins are going to be about where they're going to be. I think the Diamondbacks are going to jump up. I never know on the Brewers. Like, they lose a bunch of guys, and they're still good. Cubs, we'll see, but they've looked good so far, especially with the bats. The Mets come in this weekend. I was thinking about – because the the reason I was late today was I was taking my wife to the airport. And so I have a free weekend. So I might go see the Mets and the A's this weekend since there's no baseball at China Basin this weekend. The only reason I want to go see the Mets is I just want to see what their team is. Because as you look at the Giants and whether they can win the division, I don't think this is 2021. The Dodgers are going to be the Dodgers. The Padres are really good. So you're looking at wild cards. And I'd like to have an educated look myself at the Mets, because I think the Mets are going to be a team that you're going to be dealing with for the wild card. And that's the issue, is that if you just look at it right now, we're 12, 13 games into this thing, but the Padres would win the division, wild card. Phillies would win their division, wild card. So now these teams right here, I think Chicago looks like right now the team in the Central, but the Brewers are going to surprise people. The Mets look like they're decent. The Diamondbacks are going to be good. And then these teams, I think, down at the bottom, even though we're only 12 games into the season, that looks about right to me, with the exception of Atlanta. It's the same thing here. Like, Chicago stinks. The White Sox stink. They're going to be down there. The Mariners aren't very good. Now, the Orioles, I think, are going to be good. No affiliation with the city. Athletics are going to be about where they are. The Astros, maybe they've just taken too many hits. I mean, my God, now they lost Kyle Tucker and they lost Bregman. It's like, at some point, it's like you're losing all these guys. I know you have Altuve and you have decent pitching, but you know, that's the same thing. The Rangers, I think, are good. Not sure about Tolbert's Angels. Detroit's good. The Yankees are pretty good. You know, the Royals are pretty good. So even though you're only 12 games through the year, and I know that things will change somewhat, but it's just funny. There's 162 of these, but the bad teams like the Rockies are bad and the White Sox, and the good teams like the Dodgers, the Phillies, and I think the Giants and the Padres, they're up there. So I know you got to play 162 games to pay the bills around here, but you can almost look 12 games into the season and think, okay, that looks about right. So anyway, there's the latest on the Gigantes. And like I said, I might go up there just to look at the Mets. I'm not sure. But like I said, my wife is, she's taking off for the weekend, so why not? Ooh, that's not a bad idea. Thank you, Mark. Idea for you on Bottom of the Pint. Have a beer from the city they're playing on. All road games. I don't know if what New York is known for from a beer standpoint. I mean, they're known for a lot of things. Does New York have a beer that they're known for? I don't think so, but I could be totally wrong. I could be completely wrong. But you're right. You can go to all sorts of places now. This is what's pretty cool and a good suggestion, Mark. You could go to all these different places and you can find, because I have some friends that are into this, and you can find a beer from just about anywhere. That's a good point. That's actually really, really good. I like that. What's everybody discussing before I move on to the by the way, Dom, I did get your new logo. Outstanding. Are people really talking? He's not gonna sell the team, that dude. His ego's way too big. He's not gonna do it. It would just be nice to have continuity. Like, it blows my mind that Denver blew out Mike Malone, but it's exactly what I said yesterday. They were getting sick of the whole red ass thing, and I said red ass 55 times yesterday, so I'm only going to say it once today. But that's exactly what happened. Is they burned out. They talked to Jokic after the game. He's like, oh, you know, they told me what was going to happen. It's like, dude, they asked you if that was cool. I guarantee, absolutely guarantee it. So anyway, what else are we talking about today? Anything else that we're talking about that I need to discuss? Let's see here. All right. Let me move on to some stuff from the NFL draft. One of the dumbest trades I've ever seen. And this is just, look, it's for clicks, and I understand it, but we're a little bit smarter than that. So 2 weeks from today is the NFL draft. And I'm going to ask you this because if you give me the answer, and I'll go all in on this. I've been doing the Mock Mondays, but if you want me to do more content, writing more content, recording more content, all those kind of things of the draft, if you're kind of a draft nut like me, I'm just kind of filling this whole thing out. Because on KNBR, we fully embraced it, and we were live at 49ers HQ every single year, and I led that coverage and kind of was the point guard to that whole thing. And, you know, Krug was in there, and Pop was in there, and Bob Fitzgerald was in there with us before, and, you know, lots of different guys have come and gone. Dante Whitner, Dennis Brown, we had tons of guys, and it's just a ton of fun, and I'm really into it. I think it's the ultimate. It's reality TV. This guy gets picked. This guy had a bad 40. This guy, you know, there's a shock in the draft. Mel Kiper. It's on two different channels. Like, I just think the whole thing is insanely cool and great for TV. And we get, and what backs me up on that whole thing, like I talked about yesterday, is, you know, in Nashville there's 2 million people. Detroit there's 2 million people. You know, they move this thing out, and all of a sudden, and I'm sure Green Bay is going to be absolutely positively packed. Although we'll see what the weather is going to be. Like, I was looking in Chicago, for example, and I mean, it's like wind chill's like 18 degrees there. So I don't know if people are going to go out. I don't know what the weather is supposed to be, the weather forecast in Green Bay. I'm sure people, it's the NFL, they won't care. They'll just go out and do whatever. So there's going to be a bunch of people that are going to Green Bay and watch that whole thing. So the numbers are big. People dig it. I just want to make sure that you're into it. If you are, I'll give you more draft content at johnlundunleashed.com. I'll talk more about it. I'll do specialty videos and things like that. So let me know what your interest level is. I love it, but I don't want to make it like, okay, it's all about me. And if people don't want to hear about it, talk about it, then that's fine. But the other thing about it is, so 2 weeks from today is the NFL draft. It's the most interesting draft and important draft that the 49ers have had in, I can't even remember when. I guess you could say Trey Lance was more important because you moved all the way up to number three and you were like, please, 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 please. So what's that, 2021? But still, just in terms of where this team is and how important this is to either keep this thing going or if this is a crummy draft, because you go 22 and 23 complete bombs outside of Brock Purdy. We've shown that before. We don't need to bring it up there again. 24, they have a really nice draft. The key to keeping things going in the NFL, as you well know, but I'll just remind you, is that you've got to have about three really good drafts in a row. So you go boom, 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 and you go, wow, look at the guys that are contributing to this thing. This is why the team is good. And that's what happened when the 49ers got really, really, really good. You know, drafts with Debo in them and Fred Warner and George Kittle and just boom, 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 boom. They nailed these drafts, and all of a sudden there you are in NFC Championship games and Super Bowls. That's what it takes. It's not just one draft. And I keep talking about the 86 draft for the 49ers, the one with, you know, Tom Rathman in it and Charles Haley and Don Griffin and Tim McKeir. And they just had so many good players in that draft that that's the kind of draft they need to have. But I'm totally into it. I love the whole thing. I get really dorky about it, but I just want to kind of get some feedback on what you think as far as that goes. Now, here's this trade. And I just mentioned Trey Lance. Let me throw this up on the screen. So I just mentioned Trey Lance, right? And they gave away the third overall pick. 4 years ago, there's no way they would do that again. So they're sitting at number 11. They were sitting at 12 and moved up to three. And here's a suggestion. And this is from the 33rd team, which there's a bunch of guys that were NFL guys in that. So a mock trade. And this is just for clicks only because it's so stupid. So a mock trade from the 33rd team. The 49ers get the number three overall pick, and they take an edge rusher, Abdul Carter, who's really, really good, but there's other edge rushers in the draft. You only do that if you're going to get a quarterback. That's just what you do. And then you trade with the Giants, and they, with the 11th overall pick, get Shedeur Sanders. He'll be long gone. And then the 49ers, which you don't care about that, but the 49ers give up the 100th pick and a first-round pick in 2026. And I'm thinking to myself, first of all, they went from 12 to 3 and it bombed. You think they're going to go from 11 to 3 and give up next year's first-round pick? When they're trying to save money, the way that they're trying to save money, they're trying to get cheap labor. So the number 11 overall pick, cheap labor. Number 100 starter in cheap labor. 2026 first-round pick. They just got their first-round picks back. They traded 22 and 23 for Trey Lance. So now they finally got one in 2024, Ricky Pearsall. They finally will have one in 2025, and they're going to want one in 2026 because what that does is, as I talked about in not having that first-round pick in 22 and 23, I need that player to be a high-end starter and not make very much money. That's part of this process. It's not just gathering as many players as you can gather. It's you've got to have second and third and fourth round and fifth round picks hit because it's cheap labor and it balances out the money. They're not giving up a first round pick. They're not going from 11 to 3 to take an edge rusher. John Lynch has like six or eight different positions. He needs two defensive tackles. He needs an edge. He needs an offensive tackle. He needs a center. He needs depth at running back and wide receiver. He needs a corner. That's not conducive to trading back or trading up to number three. Even though I like Carter a lot, I think there's edge rushers in that draft. Unless you're telling me, and I'm looking at the draft and I'm saying, okay, this is a consensus number one player. So in other words, after the quarterbacks are taken, you know how that always, like Nick Bosa. Nick Bosa type is on the board at number two. You took Kyler Murray, Arizona. Good for you. But the best player in that draft was Nick Bosa. Is Abdul Carter going to be Nick Bosa? I don't know. Like he could be really, really good. But if he turns into another Trey Lance, like they've already got PTSD from going 12 to 3 4 years ago. You think that's what they want to do? Do you think John Lynch has been suggesting with all the picks and all the draft capital that they have that they're going to use that to move up to number three? Now, look, maybe I'm 100% wrong. In the 33rd team, which has a bunch of guys from former front office guys in there, and this guy's name is Marcus Mosier. I have no idea who he is. He's not a front office guy or anything like that. But I'm just like, the reason why this gets to me so much is it means you know nothing of the team and nothing of their situation. And all you're doing is throwing something out there to get clicks. And the reason why I know that is because it involves New York. It involves the Giants. And how many people are going to click on this going, and it involves Shedeur Sanders. It has all the elements to it. You know what? This isn't going to happen, but this is complete clickbait, which pisses me off because it takes no talent to do this. Let's take a New York team. Let's take Shedeur Sanders, and let's find, I don't know, the Niners who have had just a crazy offseason, and I'll put this graphic up, and it'll get 10 gazillion hits. It has New York. It has Shedeur Sanders, and it has a desperate team that has had a horrible offseason moving up. They just did this 4 years ago. They have PTSD from it. I know they do. I've talked to people. They didn't have a first-round pick in 22 and 23, and outside of Brock Purdy, those drafts bombed. You think they want to go back to that because they think that this guy's the best edge rusher? Maybe he turns into Micah Parsons. Maybe he turns into Myles Garrett. Maybe he turns into Nick Bosa. That's all great. We're not picking third. Like, there's no way they're giving up next year's first-round pick. No way. Because Jed York this entire offseason has been sitting here going, we're going to save money. Well, how do you save money? You keep your picks. Now, that's different than, and I can see them doing this in the draft. So they've got 11 picks. They're going to move around in those. They might take 12 players. They might take 9 players. I don't know. But they're going to move around the draft. That's why you have these extra picks so that you're not just sitting there. If there's a guy that is in, let's say just for the sake of conversation, Abdul Carter for some weird reason on draft day slips. And he slips to 9, and the Niners are 11. I can see that. Okay, we'll give you, next year's third. We're not giving you next year's first. We already did that. How'd that work out for us? We went 12-3 to get a quarterback. Who goes 11-3 to get an edge guy? You just don't see it happen. That's the other side of it, too. You see Buffalo give up their pick 27-10, and all of a sudden, Kansas City moves up 17 spots for a quarterback. If the 49ers were in a position where they just needed an edge rusher, here's the other side of it. If the 49ers just needed an edge rusher, this was the past, right? And this was even a year ago where you looked at this team and you said, there's not very many openings on this team, but I'll tell you what would be really, really nice. If Nick Bosa could get a guy opposite him that was completely dominant, which Abdul Carter might be, then I could see it. If you needed one piece, Atlanta, for example, you don't often see this, went all the way up for a receiver. I think they went up like 20 spots to go get Julio Jones. And I think it was with Cleveland back in the day. It was Cleveland's pick. Atlanta went up. It is really rare. But Atlanta said, you know what? We think we're a receiver away. That's when you go up, is you feel like, okay, we're a receiver away. Where the Niners made the mistake in going from 12 to 3 is they didn't have conviction on one of the quarterbacks when they went up. And they've said this before. Hey, if this guy drops, we're fine with it. If this guy's there, we're fine with it. Because remember, first pick, Trevor Lawrence. Second pick, Zach Wilson. Third pick, Trey Lance. And then it went from there. Mac Jones went, Justin Fields went, et cetera, et cetera. But when they made that trade, and then afterwards they said, we'd have been comfortable with two or three guys. You only make that trade if there is a specific guy in mind. Kansas City went up to get Mahomes. Atlanta went up to get Julio Jones. Like, they knew who they wanted. They had conviction, big-time conviction on one guy. So if you're the 49ers, I think one of the things they learned on that day, those years ago in 2021, before the draft, they went from 12 to 3, have conviction on one player. Because what they did is, we really need a quarterback. Jimmy's not going to hack it. Injuries, whatever the case may be. We're going to go up, and we're okay with either Mac Jones or Zach Wilson, or, you know, we knew Trevor Lawrence wasn't going to make it. He was going to go number one to Jacksonville. But we're okay with any of those guys. And it's not really any of those guys, because the draft, as I always tell you, is a 50-50 crapshoot. First round's lottery tickets. Second round is throwing darts, but you can see. Third round on is like blind darts. That's just what it is. It's 50-50, then it's maybe 40-60, then it's like 30-70, then it's 20-80, and then like the odds get worse by the round. So if you're going to go up and you're giving up all that draft capital to somebody, you better have conviction on a single player, and that player better be there. That's why you see it so many times. They make these trades during the draft, because they'll sit there and they'll say, I don't love three quarterbacks. That was the mistake the Niners made. Oh, we'll be fine with any of three quarterbacks. No, you won't. And then Trey Lance got there and you panicked and all that kind of stuff. You could have sat back if you just wanted Matt Jones. He went 15 to New England, so you should know the board better than that. They didn't have to do it. But to go back to this dumb mock trade, so they're going to go up from 11 to 3, give up next year's first-round pick, give up the 100th pick this year for an edge rusher. And Abdul Carter is really, really good, but I'll guarantee you this. It's kind of like when Clowney came out. Clowney went first. Khalil Mack went, what, fourth or fifth to the Raiders? I think he went fifth, actually, because Sammy Watkins went fourth. That was great. So Khalil Mack follows in the Raiders' lap at five. He's a better player. Better all-around player. Everybody loves Clowney. They were falling all over themselves to get him, and he's the best player in the draft. A lot of times it's not. So Abdul Carter, I like him a lot. Maybe he is the next Micah Parsons, but I'm not trading a first-round pick next year to find out. There's no way, especially when my owner this entire offseason has been like, save money, save money, save money, which means keep our draft picks. And there's no way they're doing that 4 years after the Trey Lance thing. Like, did this person do any research whatsoever? Did he text or call anybody? Nah, let's just throw it out. Because I know what my editors are looking for is clicks. Shedeur Sanders, New York, and a fan base that's all pissed off in the 49ers that has every earmark of getting a ton of clicks. Let's throw that out there. And I could see it if it was like some lesser site, but like 3013, I think, is still run by like a bunch of former execs. Right? Like Bill Polian isn't he a part of it, and Rick Spielman and guys like that who were in the league. I think that's just pure clickbait. New York, Shedeur Sanders, frustrated fan base. Let's put it out there and see what happens. Anyway, that's what it is. That's what it was. That's what it is. That kind of stuff. Did I have any video that I didn't hit for you? Okay, I think I got everything in there so far. Just want to make sure that we're good. All right, here's where we are on the chalkboard. First of all, thanks for joining us as we're about an hour 12 into the show today. We started at 9. By the way, I always love your opinion on that, because I had to run my wife to the airport, as I said before, and we started at 9 o'clock. I do like the 8 o'clock start, but if we get more people coming into the room and they like the 9 o'clock start better, then I would start the show at 9 o'clock. It's all about you. But anyway, John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. John Lund Unleashed on the Bay Area Sports Collective. Make sure you're following Bay Area Sports Collective, not only on YouTube, because Tom Tolbert's show is on there. He has the Woody Shed tour on there right now, so make sure that you check that out. Polly Mac Particles with Creative Tony. All of our shows are on the Bay Area Sports Collective, so make sure you're watching there. People watching right now on X at John Lund Radio. People watching on Instagram at John Lund Radio right now. Welcome to everybody. Please migrate over to John Lund Unleashed on YouTube and join the community. Make sure you give us the thumbs up, which helps the algorithm join and keep those alerts on, because throughout the day, not only do I post this show, and I also post a podcast, Apple, Spotify, wherever it's your favorite podcast, but also then later on in the day, we'll put some shorts up. I'm going to do a story of the day and write today. So make sure you have your alerts on, and you'll make sure to get those videos at John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. So there you go. That's what's going on. So anyway, Barnes Revenge, the Warriors dropped to 7. I think it changes the outlook for the Warriors season. What do you think? Standings, they're in 7th place right now. Dallas Doncic, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong in this. You could just tell based on his emotion that he never wanted to leave. I think it's still one of the weirdest trades for a group to buy a team and just not get it. The Yaz walk-off, the Giants have it. Verlander concerns, although he was throwing 95, 96. His breaking pitches had a lot of dart to him, but still, bottom line is he gave up 5 earned runs. The pen, flawless yesterday. If that's the case, they get decent starting pitching and the pen is great. This team could contend. 2 weeks from today is the NFL draft, and that was the WTF mock trade for clicks only. Draft needs, I gave you this yesterday. I wanted to pop this up really, really quickly just in case you weren't with the show yesterday, because I thought this was really, really cool. SF data, Niners SF data, and they went through, this was really cool, and they took the consensus at the key positions for the 49ers, which is defensive tackle, offensive tackle, and edge. I put red marks by guys that I really, really like. By the way, I read a piece today, if you're in the draft, a piece that, you know, just because, let's be honest, he's not the most athletic and he's kind of a plugger and he's kind of a, you know, lunch pail guy that some people think Mason Graham's going to fall. Now, I don't think that he's the type of guy. If Abdul Carter falls at 8 or 9, which he's not going to, but let's just say he does, I think the Niners then would look to move up. Not give up a first-round pick, but look to move up. Mason Graham is a guy that could slide, according to some people. And if I was a Niners, I would think of him in the same thought process as Abdul Carter. Like, if he's on the board somehow at like 8 or 9, I'm looking to go up and get that guy. And I don't care that he doesn't have the athletic traits of certain guys. He's really good, and you can put him in the middle, and I would feel a ton better about the 49ers defense. So that's some of the red marks of the guys that I really like. But that was a cool job by the guys at SF Data. In fact, I think I have it on here. There it is, right there. See at the bottom. SF Data Niners is what it is. They do a great job with the numbers. So the same thing, consensus of the top 20 offensive line prospects. Love Membu. He's not going to be there. Gray Zabel's an interesting guy because he can play a lot of different positions. Ursary is a guy from Minnesota, big tackle. A lot of people like him. However you say this dude's name from Arizona, at 324 pounds, he's running a sub 540. So he's got some athletic ability about him. Jared Wilson is the center. Emery Jones, Anthony Belton are guys who could be late-round guys. My point in putting these things up is there's a lot of depth on the offensive and defensive line, like a lot of really good players in the offensive and defensive line. So I think the 49ers, it's a good draft for what they need. And then the last one is edge guys. Clearly Carter is the best of the group. I'm still not giving up a first-round pick. I told you this yesterday, but I'll reiterate it. Hearing a little buzz about Jalen Walker, hearing a little bit of buzz, and that his versatility, even though you look at him and you say, okay, 6'1", 243, is he an edge? No. But what he is a guy who could be a off-ball linebacker and replace Dre Greenlaw, and then it comes to passing downs, and he can put his hand in the dirt, and you move somebody inside, you move one of the ends inside, a bigger end, which is what, if you look at the bottom there, Jared Ivey, Savion Jones, those kind of guys. Those are bigger defensive ends that you can move inside on passing downs. And Walker's the type of guy that he's an off-ball linebacker. Then on third down, he puts his hand in the dirt. And a lot of people like his versatility. So I'm just saying, keep an eye on that dude. Hearing a couple things. Just letting you know. So there you go. There's a little bit of draft needs, and I like that. I popped that up yesterday, but I just wanted to reiterate it for people who were not with us yesterday. So there you go. All right. I do have a sweet, clean, family friendly Kaboospa. So let me make sure that I have it here, because Skills actually sent me this. If Skills, if you're still in the room, let me double check to see if you're still in the room, because you sent me this. And this is from, this is great viewership, by the way, because you sent me this, and it's something I talked about in the sweet, clean, family friendly Caboose Pistol a little while back. And then all of a sudden here it was. Let's see. Yeah, they need to beef up the offensive line. No, it is a great year to need offensive and defensive linemen. And I guess that's why I popped that up again, that they need it. And then you're looking at that list going, that's why I wouldn't move up for Carter either. I like Abdul Carter. He's really good. He might be Micah Parsons. I don't know. Maybe we're just saying that because he's Penn State and he wore the famous number 11 there. But I'm looking at that going, that is a lot of depth at all those positions. And so the Niners, it's pretty good. All right, let me hit Caboose Pistol here really quickly. And I'm going to say that it was really cool because Skills did this. He sent me this. Well, this was a story that was behind a paywall, and I just was like, hey, this is an interesting headline. And then I was like, but I'm not going to pay for the paywall because I pay for like a million different things. And I'm not cheap. I wouldn't say that I'm cheap, But it was like there were there's a lot of paywall stuff, and I'm like, eh. So anyway, let me play the new version of the Sweet Clean Family Friendly Caboose Pistol for you. And this is legal because I pay for the rights to this music, and the reason I didn't play or didn't play it before was because it had, what did it have? In the sky. And then, anyway, it had that, and then they were making me cut it out of all the shows, or out of all like the post show stuff. YouTube would send me a thing. Hey, you got to cut this out. This music. So anyway, this is music we own. So let's do it.
John Lund Unleashed presents the Caboose Pistol.
Wedged in the crack of her buttocks.
Somehow, someway, Lundo thinks this is the best way to leave a final impression on you for the day.
The old Caboose Pistol. Everybody has one.
Did you say Caboose Pistol?
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
Leave me out of this, you weirdo. Here's John.
Not a weirdo. I'm just reporting news. Running the show on a positive note, generally. Or a weird note. I guess it's more weird than it is positive. So there was a story about an Oakland shooting, and so I guess we did this a couple of weeks ago, right, Skills, or maybe a month ago. When officers arrested a 42-year-old suspect last month and scanned his body for contraband as part of the jail intake. Boy, that would be a thankless job. What's the Mike Rowe or whatever it's called? Bad Jobs, Odd Jobs? What's that damn show called? It used to be really, really popular. Dirty Jobs, whatever it was. That would be a bad one. We've got good news and bad news for you. Good news is we've hired you for the police force. Bad news is you're the cavity checker before someone goes into jail. Anyway, received a possible clue as to why he may have been so irate. There in his anal cavity was a glass bulbous meth pipe, which he allegedly refused to secrete and hand over. By the day's end, police would retrieve the pipe for the man. Okay, can I stop there for a minute? Wouldn't you just be like, your negotiation skills would come out? Look, dude, I see. When you did what you did there and you grabbed your ankles, we saw the pipe. You know, we saw something hanging out. So could you get it? Nope, don't know what you're talking about. No, seriously, I don't want to reach in there. Please, they don't pay me enough. There's not enough rubber gloves on earth. Okay, I don't want to put on five layers of rubber gloves. Can you just take the thing out, please? But he wouldn't, so they had to do it. Police would retrieve the pipe from the man who now faces charges of threatening a nurse with a knife and attempting to smuggle contraband into the Santa Rita jail, saying the retrieval process wasn't easy. It required authorities to obtain the judge's signature to specifically search the man's anal cavity, as well as calling in a medical specialist. Suspect has been in jail, blah, 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 blah. Murder conviction, blah, 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 blah. Death row, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, yeah. The guy's just like, you know what? You know what's in there. And if you're going to go get it, you go get it. It's like, oh, my God. And look, I've never tried meth. I'm not pure as the driven snow. I did a lot of stuff in college where I would not do those things now. Meth has never been something that's been on my agenda. And that must be a hell of a drug, because you're trying to smuggle that thing in and you got to have it. And then you're going to smoke out of said pipe. I don't know what kind of cleaning products they have in prison. But I got to imagine, you know, I mean, where are you going to get it? You're going to stick it in the prison toilet or whatever like that? Oh, my God. Then you put that in your mouth? I guess you got bigger things to worry about. But at some point, aren't you like, I don't know how these guys think. That's not my mindset. But once they see the pipe and just look at you and go, hey, bro, can you just take, like, we know there's a meth pipe in there. No, man, you guys are going to have to get a judge's signature. You're going to have to get a real doctor over here. We're going to make this a hassle. Look, can't you just pull the pipe out? Nope, not doing it. Please, please. Please, I don't want to go in there. Sorry, not taking it out myself. Unbelievable. The retrieval process wasn't easy. It required authorities to obtain a judge's signature to specifically search the man's anal cavity, as well as calling in a medical specialist, according to court records. Thank you, Skills. You're a good man. And that is your Sweet Clean, family-friendly Caboose Pistol. Any thoughts? I'm afraid to go. To the comments, ready to go to the comment. Let's see, what do we have here? Where are we tailgating and when are we tailgating? For Friday's game? Absolutely. By the way, any suggestions? We had a great suggestion before. They're playing the Yankees. What kind of beer should I get? Are we playing the Yankees, Richard? I wonder if, you know, we're not doing Coronas because, like I said, you guys made fun of me. So not doing that. I'm not doing Corona. So what should we do here? Wondering what we should do here for that. Any thoughts? All right. I think we're good for the day, but keep those alerts on. Like I said, please keep those alerts on. Please, before you get out of here today, too, give us a thumbs up. That would be tremendous and amazing. And also, as we always talk about on the show, one more time, Riappel Cosmetic Surgery and Laser Center. They are the fine sponsor of the program. So please, it is a big deal to be nice to our sponsors. Go see our sponsors. And in Dr. Riappel's case, he's going to make you feel better. My wife, who left this morning to San Diego, she is having the work done with the stem cell. Her shoulder, her elbow, now her foot feel absolutely amazing. As I said, 90% on the shoulder, 60% on the elbow, which has given her a lot of trouble. And like I said, her feet, she feels absolutely incredible. Like, she couldn't wear flip-flops, for example. She just, her feet hurt that bad. She's able to wear flip-flops, go down to San Diego. It's because of Dr. Riappel and stem cell procedure that she's having done right now. Click on that QR code right there, and you'll get right through to the website, and you can check it out, Riappel Cosmetic Surgery and Laser Center. If you click on that code right now, you can go right through and ask them, make an appointment, and ask them about stem cell. You're going to feel absolutely great, and then I do the testosterone replacement, and it's really, really simple. Quick blood test. They check it out, and they go, okay, yep, you got low T. They don't jack it through the roof. You're not like you're 25 years old, but what they do is they put it exactly where it's supposed to be. If your age, you're a little bit low. So if you're feeling lethargic, you're not feeling into it, you're gaining weight, you can't lose weight, your metabolism is slowing down, you're irritable, any of those kind of things, that's how I was. But you can see now that I'm much happier. And so it's because I'm doing the low T treatment. And I've done it in other places, and you have to go in for a weekly shot. You don't want to do that. So it's a quick blood test, easy procedure. You're in and out. Now, 4 months later, you do a procedure, so like three times a year, and you're feeling like yourself again. I'm telling you, it's a game changer. Same thing. Click on that QR code, Riappel Cosmetic Surgery and Laser Center. And they do all sorts of other procedures as well. So if you just go to the website, then you can check out everything that Dr. Riappel does. And it goes beyond exactly what I told you they're doing. But again, with me, the low T, my wife with the stem cell, that's what we're doing. But they do all sorts of other procedures as well. Riappel Cosmetic Surgery and Laser Center. Anything else before we get out of here? Let me give it one more quick look. Yeah, much quicker than a cavity search. Oh, yeah. Quicker than a cavity search. Quicker than it took to get that pipe out of there. I'll tell you that right now. He wouldn't have done that. He'd have been like, sorry. That's how I would have been, too. If I'm a prison guard, dude, you want that in there? You go for it. I didn't see anything. Like, that's a lot of paperwork for me. Got to get a judge's, you know, approval on that whole thing. And then we're bringing a doctor in here, and I got to have, like, five, you know, rubber gloves on. Like, come on, man. Just come on. Like, I know you're in prison and you're going to make things hard on us and, you know, we're the cops and everything like that. But come on, bro. Just take the pipe out. I see it in there. Come on. Can we just do that, please? Please. Please. I don't want to go in there. Suggestions on beers, by the way. Hit me up. You can hit me up in the comments section always on the show. So if you're watching this a little bit later and you're like, oh, this, I check them all the time. So, or at John Lund Radio on X. Tell me what I should be drinking tomorrow. Tell me what I should be drinking tomorrow. I want to know. I'm curious about what you would be drinking tomorrow, because I'm not going to do the citrus Corona beers. I already did those. I want to do something that would kind of reflect New York. What would be like a New York kind of a beer? Let me know. Hit me up a little bit later. Wife's gone. Yeah, LJ. Absolutely. Let's do this, man. If the weather would come around, I got to have a big pool party, have everybody over. It'd be amazing. I got to do that. You know, believe me, I'm just going to rest. I'm just going to rest, do some work, do some rest, do some work, do some rest, that kind of stuff. It's going to be nice. But it's not bad, by the way. I like that picture, LJ. Very nice. All right. I think that'll do us. Antonio, I didn't say hello to you this morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Again, give me beer suggestions for Friday. Beer suggestions for Friday. And I'll look over these as well. Schaefer. I remember Schaefer beer back in the day. Very, very nice. I think they could trade back like in 86. Good knowledge there, Dookie 1032. Very good knowledge, by the way, by you. Very nice. Your 49er birthday. When is your birthday coming up? We all owe Joy a lot. I'll tell you that right now. 49 in her 49 year. Very, very nice. All right. people talking about age. That's my cue. Exit stage left. Party at my house. Party at my house. All right. Keep them going. Keep them going for beer suggestions tomorrow, because I don't want anybody making fun of me. And you know what's better about that, too, is if you give me a suggestion, I use it, then I just blame you. Because last time I was like, yeah, I'm going to get this citrus Corona beer, and then everybody made a bunch of fun of me. So not going to have it like that. So give me more beer suggestions for tomorrow night. We'll do a show tomorrow. We're going to double up tomorrow. So tomorrow, here's what we'll do. We'll do the normal show. I want your feedback on a 9 o'clock start. We usually go 8 to 10, but what do you think of a 9 o'clock start? Is that better or worse for you? Give me your feedback on that. And then I'll do the show tomorrow in the morning. Then Krug and I'll be back in the afternoon. 3:30, I think, is the pregame. About 4 o'clock tomorrow. 4 o'clock, 4 p.m. tomorrow for Bottom of the Pint. And we do a live show during the Giants game every Friday. So Yankees, Giants tomorrow. So we'll do that for tomorrow's show as well. Plus, I'll be back tomorrow in the morning. Everybody have a tremendous, tremendous Thursday. I'll speak to you tomorrow at 8 o'clock, and then we'll do the Bottom of the Pint at about 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Everybody have a wonderful Thursday.
Thanks for hanging out with John Lund Unleashed. We'll try to be better next time, though I wouldn't hold my breath. Please like and subscribe on the John Lund Unleashed Pod YouTube channel. Watch live shows weekdays at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. And make sure to have your alerts on for shows throughout the day or night. All things Lund can be found at johnlundunleashed.com. johnlundunleashed.com.
Goodbye!